we have left when the plans fall apart. Acquiring the skills necessary for survival is a part of this preparation. However, it takes much more than the knowledge and the skills to build shelters, find food, make fires, and travel without the aid of standard navigational devices to live successfully through a survival or invasion situation. Some people with little or no survival training have managed to survive life-threatening circumstances. Some people with survival training have not used their skills and have died. A key ingredient in any survival situation is the mental attitude of the people involved. Having survival skills and proper preparation are important. Having the will to survive is essential. This is Captain Fred. This is Fifth Dimension Radio on Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is September 30th of 2017. And we're carrying on a topic that a caller called last week. We had been discussing the accumulation of stuff and how it contributed to the disorganized state of mind, and how when we prepare for situations, it's important to maintain the correct mental attitude as of anything that we might do to prepare for a disaster. What I just read to you was the preamble to the United States Army, Navy, and Air Force Pocket Survival Guide. What that says is that we have to have the will to survive and the understanding and the mental attitude to be able to make correct decisions. And that's what we're talking about is being able to make correct decisions. In the last few weeks, William in Montana has came in. I'd like to introduce William in Montana. I'm not really sure what he is. He's a researcher that has come on board to help develop some of these ideas so that we can take with them from these shows something that can all benefit, or we can all benefit from. William, are you with me today?
Yes, I am, Captain Fred.
What do you think? Do you think the Army was correct, or do you think that all these skills and all these supplies are all that's needed to survive a situation?
Well, I think, it does emphasize that, one of the most important tools that you have for survival is what's between your two ears. And if you haven't exercised that, just like if you don't exercise your muscles, you're not going to be fit to survive in a lot of situations. So it takes not only knowledge, but it also takes sort of going through the motions, however that works for you, to be prepared and be ready. Because usually when it happens, often it comes out of the blue. Sometimes you don't have warning, and that can throw you into a fright. And if you're not used to that fright, that can really throw you off balance long enough to really make it very dangerous for you.
Well, in 1896, Mark Twain said that the calamity that comes is never the one that we've prepared for. So I think that's absolutely what we need to discuss today. After I spoke with you last week and we spoke with the caller, I think he was from Hawaii, were discussing different types the discussion originated with our stuff and things that we collect and how this can be a hindrance. And he suggested that maybe some of this stuff is important. Making good decisions is part of the skill set that's necessary for a prepper, for sure. And in the past, we've discussed how we can get our mind clear through our diet, through our for correct thinking, and that's going to be important for any kind of survival technique is having our minds correct, or at least in the right situation, so that we don't become victims of bad thinking or of things that really aren't threatening. You know, how do we develop these kind of correct thinking skills for any kind of, you know, the disaster that I walked into a month ago? It was interesting because when I had been in the mountains for the previous 3 months, I think I'd probably already pretty much prepared for survival living because I had been surviving in the wilderness. And when I came into Port Aransas, which is destroyed from the hurricane, I had most everything I needed. So I wasn't really as concerned about no water. I didn't need electricity so much because I've been camping for quite a while. But when we work on these skills, how do we start developing the correct attitude for survival?
Well, I think his name is Dan. He brought up something that really woke me up because I had forgotten it. And he said that when we're doing this prepping, we have to get down eventually to minutiae. We have to get down to details, and it's not something that you're going to just get off the internet, because all of our situations are different, and we should prepare differently based upon where we live, our health, how we get on, where we live in terms of, do we live in the city, do we live in the rural areas, do we live in wilderness, all that stuff matters. So it's not something that you can generalize and say, this is how you do it. But there is something that you can learn. And, just like in your quote that you said, it's important to know how to act in an emergency situation, and know that you're in an emergency situation as soon as possible, because it doesn't have to just be hurricanes or the collapse of society. It can be a personal disaster, and you have to maintain that. You have to maintain that attitude of saying, "I'm going to survive this. I'm going to do whatever it takes." And if you can't make that jump, you can be in deep trouble very quickly.
You know, I had dug out a clip of Terrence McKenna's. And he was talking about a different kind of survival, but it makes a lot of sense. And let's listen to that really quick, because what he kind of talked about is what we're moving to today. Sam, have you got that clip up? Maybe not. We got a little computer issue going on right now. We'll have that up here in a second. But what Terrence was talking about was that it seems like nature, the organisms that cooperate best are the ones that have the best possibility for survival. And I think that that's what you had pointed out too, is that developing community or developing a good survivor a prepper community is really important in any kind of prepper technique. And I think I've heard that lots of times before, but what if you're say living in the city? I mean, what if you're surrounded by hostels sometimes? I mean, I'm not really sure. Wait a second before you go on. Let's listen to this clip for a second.
Social Darwinism uses a very vulgar understanding of evolutionary dynamics to justify class oppression by saying that it must be right that some people have their foot on other people's necks, because isn't this what nature is about? Struggle of the fittest and survival of the longest fang, the swiftest claw, the sharpest tooth. Well, the answer is no, absolutely not. This rests on an understanding of nature that was in vogue 150 years ago, that is not in vogue now. That's what you see when you look at nature, in the human dimension, but when you analyze nature as an integrated system of chemical reactions, gene transfer, catalytic self-regulating activities, hypercycles of energy, nutrients, and metabolism, when you analyze nature from that point of view, you see that it seeks to maximize cooperation, connectedness, mutual interdependability is the thing which holds the whole thing together. And the species that is most successful is not the species that can dominate all others. It's the species that can make itself indispensable to all others. Look at the evolutionary success of the bacteria. You know, they settled in for the long haul, and no higher form of life can operate without them. And so the possibility of bacteria becoming extinct is laughable. I mean, they'll be the last to go.
Yeah, well, Will, what do you think about that? As far as if survival is concerned, the more interdependent or the more dependent the other groups are on you, the better your likelihood of survivability, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you know, that whole social Darwinism is really kind of not only vulgar but kind of stupid, because if you even go back to the origin of species, you know, in Darwin's original work, I mean, right in the introduction, he talks about that, you know, independence among people and their effectiveness to work as a group, you know, ensures their survival. And leaving a progeny that can survive, is one of the mandates. So this whole idea that, you know, that like the simplistic understanding of social Darwinism is referred to as red in tooth and claw. So it's just like, you know, we're just in it for the fight, and whoever's the strongest wins. But
that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. You look at wolves; they survive. They're successful because they cooperate in the hunt. You know, so.
Well, so in other words, if you were someone that were interested in preparing for disasters, the first thing that you would probably not do would go out and buy your pistol, right? I mean, that's not going to save you. Probably the most important thing you're going to do, if you're really thinking about survival, is gathering your thoughts. And you know, there's a lot of different things that happens when you discuss survival. A lot of people just break it into different groups and categories of ideas. Sure. And concepts. And you know, I think that the most important things, just like the survival booklet that I read, the most important thing is the will and understanding that it's this mental attitude that's going to get you through this thing. And being able to fight off the zombies is an illusion that's being created by a lot of people that drive, I think, the consumer group that are living off the preparedness movement.
Sure, and you know, before you go and get a gun, I would suggest that it might be a good idea to get to know your neighbors. Because it'd be very good to know which ones might be coming after you, you know, and which ones you can depend upon.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's more important. That information is very important before you start getting this bunker mentality, because you might end up being in a bunker and it might end up being your grave unless you know a little bit more than just, you know, how to hide and get ready to shoot at anything that moves.
There was a video game that I looked at, and there are a lot of survival video games now. But one of the games, in its promotional video, documented the different types of studies that you would using that video game, and I was amazed by it. Let me name off some of these too. I mean, it said it's going to introduce you to the resources phase, gathering and harvesting raw materials, the moral choices that you have to make while you're while you're in a survival mode. The split second choices for living or dying. And one of the primary things that they said was mental state. And reaping the rewards for a better, more pliable mental state. If we can do anything to help our viewers understand, or our listeners, viewers, I hope they're looking at us. If we can do anything to help them understand what we're trying to do on this, I think that we started with the diet, the processes of the attitude that's being controlled by our chemistry in our brain. But we have to also understand that we can't depend on the media to make some of these observations. We can't wait to have them tell us what they're going to do on this thing. What I'd like to do today is... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, you know, right off the bat, you know, one of the most important things to have if you wish to survive is health. And health, it has to be an active. You have to take personal responsibility for your health. And you have to know how to take care of yourself when you can't just run off to the doctor or run off to the store. And so health is really important. And like you pointed out so many times, clear thinking is very important because you have to know how to clearly think about what you need to do to improve your health and to preserve your health. I think that's a big issue.
Absolutely, for sure. And one of the other things that was noticeable in this article that I read about this is one of the prime important topics was teaming up, increasing your chances of survival by teaming up. And sure. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to open the phone lines, and hopefully we'll get some more discussion from our teammates out here on the survival thing. Our number here at Republic Broadcasting is 1-800-313-9443, and I'm Captain Fred, and this is Will in Montana, and we'd like to open the lines and see if we can discuss some things about creating a survivable attitude. And I hear the music now, so I guess we're going to take a few minutes then. We'll be back in.
Likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
When we think of preparation, we often think that we have to buy something, and I think that that's what we need to stay away from. This show started from the discussion of accumulation of stuff, and I think what I want to tell people is that that's not the first thing we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about keeping our mind alert, open for the change. I read somewhere once that survival is the ability to swim in strange waters. Well, William, when we are traveling, the mindset for survival is different than when it is that we're at home. And you spoke to me earlier about your preparation for traveling in Montana during the winter is a lot different than, say, the preparation for us here in Texas. I know that you carry like 40 degree under below zero sleeping bags with you constantly? Because I know I get cold up there even in August.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get used to it. But yes, you know, we carry a lot in the trunk of both of our vehicles, and because if you go off a road, you slide off a road in a snowstorm up here, I mean, you've got to be able to take care of yourself, because if it's in the evening, you may not actually see a vehicle come off the road until the next morning. So we carry fire-making equipment, and we know how to use it. And we have blankets, and we have, you know, space blankets in case we really need to, you know, get away from the vehicle because it's damaged or something like that. And we know how to build, you know, emergency, sort of shelter. And that, one of the good things about it is not only what you carry in the car, it's the experience that you carry. Because if you've never done this before and it's just a, you know, a mental image and it actually happens, you can go into panic and shock very quickly unless you've had some experience. So I always say not only, you know, be prepared, but also maybe run through this in a real life situation. And that's what a lot of the people up here, the communities get together that I'm involved with. And we actually go out and show a newbie or even the old timers you know, okay, now, here's your car. It's off the road. What do you do now? And we do this in the wintertime. We don't do it in the summer. We do it when, as soon as you get out of the car, your hands start getting cold. And then we're there, you know, if it's too much for them, we're there to take over and put them back in a warm car and discuss with them what went wrong, you know, because it's most important for the person to know, you know, what went wrong and how he can prepare, where he made his mistakes. And so it's not only what you carry, but the fact that you've actually maybe prepared for this by actually going through a drill.
It sounds kind of militaristic to me. I mean, you know, my old German flight instructor told me that that you don't practice making mistakes, and you know that you just learn how to deal with them. Which is what he meant is that you don't have to practice life-threatening situations by being in life-threatening sure. situations. You just learn how to do the things that you would do thinking correctly. Identifying these situations and being able to respond to them is important. And we're going to be back. I want any callers call in. It's 1-800-313-9443. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred. Down.
Saturation in the grip of the morning sun. The creosote that erodes all the odors that lie dormant when the day is done. Hop the dingle on the ferry takes you back to the dimension that's just begun. Riding the crest of the communion to a union, Harry Truman is the boy son. He says.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is the Fifth Dimension, Captain Fred, in Texas, and we have Will in Montana. Will, when I was reading earlier, the statement said that plans, preparation is what we have left when our plans fall apart. Well, you and I had planned on taking a few callers today, and so preparation, our preparation is about the discussion of the mental attitude we need to really embrace survival and to understand that's really most important, whether we end up with a pocket knife or a Zippo lighter. A lot of the things that are involved in being prepared or preparation, at least, are things that we can teach ourselves to do in any kind of situation. One of the things that I think is like learning how to be a good craftsman or a crafter, crafting your environment, or I guess a lot of people would call it MacGyvering, understanding that application of some of the things that you have might be more than just what they're specifically designed for. And you know, that was one thing that I was thinking that we could discuss. The other thing is maintenance. You were talking about health. Well, now, health would fall under maintenance, wouldn't it?
Probably the first step to consider. One of the things I, just as an example, like we actually go through drills up here with one prepper community that I deal with. And, you know, one time we were getting a group of people together to go out in the cold because, like I say, it's a good time to train and to put someone in a situation where they have to act. And there was a Navy SEAL, you know, retired Navy SEAL, in the group, and I mentioned to him in the car, I said, you know, whoever gets you on their team are home free, because, I mean, you know everything. And he looked at me very stern, and he said, that is not true, because I've trained in a military situation with a group of elite other soldiers, and most of our missions were going to be short-term, and we had a definite time for expected extraction. And he said, what's different here and the reason why we have to go through this drill is because we're dealing now with people with families, you know, people who have never been in a dangerous situation. And that's going to put a whole new picture on this thing. And that's why we have to go through this drill. And even I have to go through the drill because I didn't have a family out there, you know, in these very hairy situations. So I'm going to learn something today. And so what that showed me was that that is the attitude that you have to have. You know, even though you're a Navy SEAL, you are not assuming that in the type of situations that you will find yourself, that you're going to know everything. So he was there with his eyes open, ready to learn, and I thought, you know, of all people, he would come there with everything already in place. And so that's a real important thing of why you not only have to study, but you also have to go through these sort of drills or these practice and go through them with other people, because maybe in your family, not everybody is on board. You know, they may think you're a kook. You know,
well, doesn't the practice more than, you know, you're not really practicing for an event as much as you are practicing for confidence and for to help hone your mental skills so that you don't fall apart during a critical
exactly.
event. Exactly.
That's a very good point, and that's the one I was trying to make, is that this isn't like, oh, we're going to prepare for a snowstorm, we're going to prepare for a tornado. This is like, how do you, when you can't call 911 and when you can't, you know, run to the store, how will you deal with it? And then how do you deal with the people you're working with? Because, again, you know, being successful at cooperation and knowing how to cooperate, and sometimes if you're a know-it-all, and, you know, I have a tendency to, you know, to have that fault, you know, if you think you know it all, and you don't carry the group with you, and you don't listen to the group's concerns, you're not going to be as successful as a group. And that's really what, you know, prepping, one of the first things you learn is this learning how to work as a group, or you might as well just run up the, you know, the trail and hide out on the highest peak you can. I mean, if that's your, you know, your approach. But I think that's very important.
Well, building confidence is what training does. That's what the military always thought. They weren't necessarily so much trying to train you for special events as they were trying to train you to build confidence that given a different set of circumstances, you'd probably still approach it with the same correct mental attitude.
Sure.
There's so many different things that you have to prepare for. You know, you can't go out and camp in the wilderness and learn all that you need. There's other things you can do that would help prepare you for a disaster. And some of those things are like just learning how to change the oil on your car or change a tire. Those are very critical emergency situations that a lot of people don't know how to deal with today because they've got AAA or some other thing. The preparedness doesn't necessarily mean for a disaster. Preparedness means for just living, period. Learning how to cook. A lot of people don't know how to cook. You know, there's so many skills that are necessary for our daily living. I think nowadays people are so compartmentalized, they don't really understand that it's a combination of all these skills that are necessary in a survival event.
And I think that's, you know, when I go through, like, the, you know, one of the things that a lot of preppers get a reputation for is, you know, their bug out bag. You know, like, oh, you have a pack by the door, or we have one in the trunk of both of our vehicles. But, you know, it's like the bug out bag is going to save you. The bug out bag can have a lot of things, and you can find lots of literature on what to have and what not to have. But you really have to understand, you know, when you need to bug out, if you're going to, or why sometimes bugging out is the most dangerous thing you can do. And you have to be able to, even before you grab that bag and go, you have to understand what's going down. And you have to have prepared for that. You've had to prepare for how do you make those decisions? Where's the dividing line between go or stay? And if you haven't gone through those in the moment when you have that feeling that you've got to go and do something, if you haven't gone over that in your head and you haven't discussed it with other people and heard what they had to say about it, it's going to be maybe a little bit too much for you to deal with in the moment.
You know, there's so many, there's so many inconsistencies with the knowledge we have about a disaster nowadays. I mean, the disaster of the hurricane that hit Port Aransas was the probably the largest and the most dangerous hurricane that made land.
Mm-hmm.
But the information that people are getting about these disasters is being manipulated by the forces of the media. And I think that I've talked about this before. Weather Channel is not your friend as far as is trying to deliver most accurate information. And I don't think that it benefits them to be, really distinct about what they're trying to say. I mean, it benefits them for everybody to generate fear. So when we're trying to make those decisions about bugging out or not bugging out, we've got to develop a train or a line of information that we can depend on. How do we deal with that?
Well, I think, you know, like one little point that we always go over and something that I have in place is you've got to make an emergency sort of like contact list, because, you know, one of the most terrifying things for most families is if something goes down and the kids are at school, the wife is at work, you know, the father is in another place, you know, how do you get together, you know, when communication goes down, you know, or communication is confusing? And so we have a plan. We have contact numbers if we can use it, but we also have routes. We've actually walked these routes on how do you get back to a point, a place, where we have agreed upon to assemble. And also, you know, you don't just go and head on the most direct route. We actually have alternative routes. Like if you go down a highway and there's a bunch of rampaging people freaking out, that's probably not the place you want to walk home from, you know, through. So we have alternative routes that will take you and get you to the same spot, because, you know, until you reassemble for a family like that, that family is in, you know, I mean, it's just in panic mode until they see their loved ones.
Having an evacuation plan is certainly important.
Sure.
A lot of the preppers that set up evacuation plans actually have placement of stored goods in different locations so that they can take advantage of it if a situation comes. Now, I can see how that might be a little tedious for people that are planning on a military Armageddon, but for people that live in a hurricane zone like myself,
yeah.
It's not a bad idea to keep a lot of your stuff someplace else. I mean, you know, I was fortunate in that the things that I had in the path of the hurricane were the main items that I had, but I had duplicates of it with me because I had been traveling for some time.
Sure.
It's really hard to anticipate the unsuspected things, but, you know, we can anticipate hurricanes, and people that live in Oklahoma can certainly anticipate a tornado.
Yeah.
Just don't put your couch out in front of your mobile home and you'll be okay. But I'm just making fun of my friends in Oklahoma.
Sure.
But you know, these things, if you anticipate some of these things, we can certainly make plans for them without looking too idiotic. I mean, being fortified or being secure in your home place, those are important things that we could address, even if it's not a military invasion or that we're thinking about, or if it's a storm invasion, just having a sack full of sandbags, or, you know, or something we could fill for sands would be important. There's a lot of things that are applicable for our particular situation, and I'd like to think that the preparation is something that happens constantly. It's not something that we go into and we've got a checklist and we fill this list out. And once we've done this, we put this bag over in the corner and we don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't think that's true. I think it's a dynamic situation that we have to deal with constantly.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, that concept of having a stash, a cache somewhere else, applies to many things. And one thing that people forget about is getting your finances in order. I mean, you may not be able to run to the bank. You may not be able to get to your safe deposit box. And if you have to just go, it might be nice for you to have stashed some resources somewhere that you can go and pick up. You know, when the ATM machines don't work and you don't have enough cash in your pocket, I mean, without giving all of our secrets away, I mean, everybody I know has that available to them. And so that's something that, you know, you can do. It's not like, you know, stockpiling bullets and an extra shotgun, but just having some place where you can go and pick up the amount of money you think you need to carry you through an emergency. And that's not the end of the world emergencies. That's like a house fire. That's, you know, any number of personal, you know, catastrophes. And so that's another item out I wanted to get out there.
Yeah, you know, just speaking from my last experience with a disaster, I know a lot of my friends weren't really – well, they hadn't anticipated what they would do so much if their homes were destroyed. A lot of people are like myself, living away from where I had lived. But a lot of people have been misplaced or displaced, and a lot of what happened was they lost their jobs. They don't have work because where they've been working is destroyed. When change happens because of a disaster, it affects a lot of things, and there's really no one thing that you can prepare for on it. That's what Mark Twain said, that, you know, sure as shooting, if you're going to prepare for a calamity, it won't be the ones you prepare for that'll hit you. Seasonal considerations are important when you try to prepare, and that's part of the disaster plan. I mean, you know, hurricane season hits us from June until November, and it's mostly during August and September. So we all knew that the hurricanes are likely to come then, and the fact that that most people were able to evacuate, and there were actually I'm not sure if there were any deaths, in maybe one or two in Texas, but the fact that their people are being able to anticipate these disasters really is a signal that they're, you know, we do have some time to think about this. Some of the biggest problems people had in the Hurricane Harvey was finding fuel for evacuation. A lot of people didn't evacuate that should have evacuated. I know my friend Ed helped people board windows, help people work on their places until it was too late for him to leave. Those are moral decisions that we need to come with. I mean, we have to be ready to align ourselves with who we're planning on being with during a disaster situation like that. The mental attitude. What in Montana, I guess your biggest concern in Montana is what, mechanical breakdown? I don't know.
Well,
when it gets cold,
you know,
up there.
No, we have cold weather, and believe it or not, we also have very hot weather. And then we have forest fires, and we got evacuation orders. I mean, if the sheriff comes up and says, you've got to leave, you've got 15 minutes to get whatever you want to take with you and get gone. And so all of those could be, if you don't have a plan in place, that just could be heart-wrenching to try to figure out what to do. And so, again, preparation makes a big difference there. There's music.
Yeah.
Have another thought. We'll talk about it.
Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred and Will in Montana. We'll be back in two or three.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back. This is Captain Fred. Well, we laid some plans out today. We were thinking that the discussion about prepping, mental attitude, the possibilities would be an interesting topic for our callers, but just like any other plans we make, we didn't get any callers. Will, lots of times we get callers because they're just interested in listening to us. Lots of times it's a beautiful Saturday and people don't particularly want to be bothered making phone calls. So when we make plans like this, we've got to be flexible sometimes too. And it's the same for most preppers. And when things don't happen as we expect, we got to kind of assume the best, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, last night when I was prepping for the show, I was looking for something else and I ran into a great quote by Mark Twain, and he said, "We may not pay Satan reverence, for that would be indiscreet, but we can at least respect his talents." And what's interesting about that is Satan here may not just be the biblical Satan, but it may be a placeholder for a forest fire, a hurricane, a tornado, a house fire, any of these things. And so the whole the quintessential prepper mentality is that even though you don't, you know, pay Satan respect, you know, like reverence or respect, you've got to at least respect his talents, you know. And so that's when you're in that thinking mentality for prepper mentality, thinking mode, you've got to respect the possibilities, and you have to know what they are. You don't have to love them. You don't have to, you know, be reverent toward them, but you've got to be able to respect what they can bring upon you and be ready to act to ensure your survival.
I have to agree with that. The mental flexibility to adapt is what the military tries to train, give them the experience to handle the things that they train them for, but also give them the mental flexibility to not anticipate, but to handle whatever comes at the spur of the moment or in a surprise. Well, I don't know. We may not approach this prepping topic again for a while, but if we have to leave it, what would you suggest that we try to take to a disaster?
Well, be prepared. and be prepared in any way that you think is necessary for you to survive.
I think that that's the advice that we're trying to get to today. Until next week, this is Captain Fred and Will. William in Montana, we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Captain.
We'll see you next week.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.